As we were praying this morning, we felt that there's going to be a lot of people coming here this morning who is burdened, who is tired, and you basically just at the bottom of your cup or whatever. And I just want to say to you, you're in the right place. Thanks for coming. Just hanging in there, there's hope. And this message, the title of this morning's message is called, Who Do You Follow? And did you know that everybody follows someone or something? Everyone follows someone or something. Think about it. Sports lovers follow their teams and heroes across the globe. Some study the people they love, the sport players they love. They study them intently so that they can get the secrets to their success. Groupies follow their favorite actors and favorite bands and models all over the globe. They spend thousands of rand to go and see their shows, go and buy their merchandise, to get their clothing, wear the clothes that they wear and act like them and live like them. You know, some just follow the latest trends. They just want to be in with what everybody else is doing. Some just follow the swell, you know, and I think we've got quite a couple of those in East London. And as long as the surf is good, you know, life is good. And others follow the news 24/7. You know, they just cannot go to bed, they cannot go to sleep if they haven't read the latest breaking news. Many follow money, and they will go wherever the next promotion leads them, as long as the salary is bigger and the perks are better. For the greater period or the better part of their life, they spend in the rat race, hoping to one day just be financially free and then to start living and enjoying life. Many follow their lustful desires and are never satisfied because of this. Buddhists follow the teachings of the religious leader Buddha. Muslims follow the teachings of Muhammad. Even atheists did not just one day just say, I don't believe in God. They listened to a teaching, saw a movie, read a book, spoke to someone and was convinced that there is really nothing greater out there. In other words, they believe or they follow the opinion of man. So what am I saying this morning? What I'm trying to say is that everybody follows something or someone. You know, very little people, people don't just live and wait to die. They commit their lives to something. Be it sports, be it culture, be it religion, be it love, be it for money, be it for career, be it for all kinds of things. But people commit their life to something or someone. Many people don't even realize that they are following something or someone. But they are. The question this morning is, who do you follow? That is the question. And so who of you call yourselves Christians here this morning? You can feel free, just raise your hand. If you say you call yourself a Christian, okay, we've got a couple of Christians here in the house this morning. Now, they say that there's 2.1 billion people in the world that call themselves Christian, okay? And the world population is just a bit more than 7 billion people at the moment. So that means that 30% of the world call themselves Christian. Or in other words, a little bit less than 1 out of 3 people in the world call themselves a Christian. But what does the word Christian mean? Anybody, what does the word Christian mean? To follow Christ. Follower of Christ. Someone who follows Christ. That's what the word Christian means. So my question is, and I'm struggling with this, why when we look at the world, when we look at the news, when we look at the papers, when we just go to any random mall and we go and observe the people, if 30% of the people say they are Christian, why don't we see Christ being reflected in our society? If 30%, 1 out of 3 people say they're Christian, why is it that we don't more openly see the true characters of Christ being reflected in our society? And during my preparation, I believe that God gave me two pictures, simple pictures. It's quite effective. The one picture is of what happens when we follow people. When we follow people. So there you can see my little diagrams. To the left, You can see God is on top, person X and person Y. Person X is following God, and as person X follows God, person Y is following person X, right? But because we are merely human, because we are not perfect, somewhere along the line, person X loses a bit the way. He loses the path, and he wanders off. But person Y doesn't know that, so he's still following person X, still thinking he's following God. Similarly, person Y, eventually over time, also loses the plot a little bit, and he even starts to drift away from person X. And at the end there on the right, you can see person Y is not really following God anymore, is he? Now, I had another picture of what I believe God wants the church to look like. He wants the church to be a group of believers that that follow God together, but individually also follow him. So there we've got person X, Y, and Z, all focused on God, following God individually. And yes, person Y is still just human, so somewhere along the line he drifts. But because person X and person Z, they've got their eyes fixed on God, it's easy for them to see that person Y is going astray, and it's easy for them to go and call him back into the, you know, into service, looking at God. Does it make sense? So that is why, well, that's why we cannot as believers be following after God on our own. Right? And that way we have to follow God, follow Jesus in community. Okay, so I believe the reason why we are not seeing Jesus, very simple, the reason why we're not seeing Jesus in our society more openly, his character being in our society more openly, is because Christians are not following Christ anymore. They might be following a lot of other things. They might be following a church group. They might be following a cool Christian band. They might be following some anointed preacher. They might be following some awesome teaching. They might be following the blessings of God. But following Christ has become much lower priority on our list, hasn't it? It's going very silent here this morning. In the book of 1 John, we're going to look at some scripture now. In the book of 1 John, John writes to the church at Ephesus. I just want to give you a little bit of background. The church of Ephesus was a period where a lot of false teachings came about, and a lot of false prophets, and John was worried. He was concerned for the church, so he wrote to the churches of Ephesus. He gave them three tests, how they can test true Christianity. He says, by this, you will know that a person is a true Christian. So let's turn there to the first scripture we find in 1 John 2, verse 3 to 4. I'm just going to read for us there. Now by this we know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. He who says, I know him, and does not keep his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Very simply, John is saying that if you're a Christian, if you're in true Christianity, you follow God's commandments. Now, I want to go one step further. I want to ask us this morning, do we even know God's commandments? Do we know God's commandments, and are we following God's commandments? The second test for true Christianity, 1 John 4, verse 1 to 3. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they are of God. Because many false prophets have gone out into the world, but this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. What is John saying? John is saying that we have to believe. If you're a true Christian, you have to believe. You have to believe in Jesus Christ, that he came, he died for our sins, he conquered the grave, and he rose again victorious. We have to believe in Jesus. The third test that John gives the churches of Ephesus, and I think we can use it still as a test today, we find in 1 John 4, verse 20. If someone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, how can he love God who he has not seen? Very simple, do we love our brothers? But when Jesus was on the earth, and in the Gospels we read that Jesus actually taught one step further. He said, don't only love your brothers, don't only love those who love you, but also love your enemies. So I want to ask us the third question this morning, do we love our brothers, but do we also love our enemies? Test for true Christianity. And I want to put my own thing in here, and I want to ask you this morning, when last have you heard God's voice. When last did God speak to you? Because many of you said you're Christians here this morning. When last did God speak to you? Because his word says that my sheep hear my voice. And if you're a Christian, you are one of his sheep. And you can hear his voice. So when last did God speak to you? And when he spoke to you, what did he tell you? And after you heard what he told you, what did you do? What was your reaction to that which he told you? Now, I know this is a bit of a tough message this morning. It's a bit of a challenging message for some of us. Believe me, it's a very challenging message to me. And I'm preaching first and foremost to myself here, and secondly to you guys. And what I'm sharing here this morning is simply what God has been laying on my heart in the last couple of months. He's just saying, Stephen, who do you follow, Stephen? Stephen, do you believe in me? Stephen, do you follow my commandments? Stephen, do you love your brothers? Do you love your enemies? In the Gospels, we read that Jesus went about calling ordinary people, fishermen, to become his disciples. He called them to follow him. And I think that Jesus is still doing the same today. He's calling ordinary people like me and you to follow him and to become his disciples. But why must we follow Jesus? Why not someone else? Why should we follow Jesus? And I want us to go and dive into Scripture again. Because I've just got the conviction that as believers, we must remain scriptural and we must remain Christ-centered. Christianity is about Christ. Right, so let's read then John 6, verse 35. This is now the book of John, the gospel account of John, John writing about Jesus' life and his teachings. So why believe in Jesus? And I'm going to read a couple of scriptures, six scriptures, and of why should we believe in Jesus. The first scripture there, John 6, verse 35. And Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who come to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. What does that mean to us? It means that we may have to partake in communion regularly, because when we partake in communion, we identify or we remind ourselves that Jesus is the bread of life. And later this morning, we're actually going to take communion. The second thing is we have to spend time in the Word of God, because that is what fills us. That's what fills our hunger. Second scripture, John 8, verse 12. Then Jesus spoke to them, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. What it means here is that Jesus does not only give sight to the physically blind, but also to the spiritual blind. And as Christians, while we still have time here on the earth, we should go about and do the works of God. Amen? Because he is the light of the world. John 10, verse 9, the third scripture. I am the door, Jesus says, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. What does this mean? Is that only through Jesus can we receive eternal life, because he has given his life for us. Only through Jesus is the only way. He's the only way to eternal life. Fourth scripture, John 11, 25. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. Great scripture. It's telling us that we don't need to fear death anymore. Because Jesus died, he conquered death. We don't have to have a fear for death anymore, because Jesus now offers us eternal life. Even after this life, if we die and our body returns to dust, we continue, our spirit remains with God, and we continue living with Christ. Fifth scripture, John 14, verse 6. Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus is saying that he's the only way to God the Father. He's saying that he is the truth that we are looking for. And he says this morning that he is the life that we long for. If you're longing for life, Jesus is the answer. He is the life that we long for. And the sixth scripture there, John 15, 1 to 2. Jesus says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. What this means is that if we want to grow in maturity, if we want to become mature Christians, if we want to grow our spiritual beings, we have to remain close to God. We have to remain and abide in His presence. We have to abide in His Word. It's not just a once-off, quick accepting Jesus. That's not the way to grow mature, become mature. We have to stay in His presence. We have to stay in His presence. And just to summarize, why should we follow Jesus? We read six things there. He said, we should follow Jesus. Why? Because He is the bread of life. He is the light of the world. He is the only door to God. He is the resurrection and the life. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the true vine. So now we know why we should follow Him, but if I tell you that that's the only thing that Jesus said about following Him, I wouldn't be telling you the whole truth. Because God says, or Jesus says, that there's a something happens if we follow Him. He says there's a consequence. If we choose to follow Him, there's a consequence. Many times we say that, come to Christ, give your life to Christ, and you know, everything would just be sunshine and roses. But that is not the truth. Jesus never said that your life will just be sunshine and roses. In fact, we read in John 15:18-20, he says, what can we expect when we come to Christ, when we decide to follow Christ? And I'm reading from the Message version just because it's easier to understand. If you find the godless world is hating you, remember it got its start hating me. If you lived on the world's terms, the world would love you as one of its own. But since I picked you to live on God's terms and no longer live on the world's terms, the world is going to hate you. When that happens, remember this. Servants don't get better treatment than their masters. If they beat on me, they will certainly beat on you. What Jesus was saying, He was warning us. If you choose to follow me, you can expect to be persecuted by the world in one or another way. You can expect trials and tribulations. You can expect a resistance from the devil. But he also gives us the promise of the ultimate gift of salvation to those who endure to the end. This is not a sprint that we are running in, Christianity, following God. It's a marathon race. So this morning I'm just trying to show you a glimpse of who Jesus is, what Scripture says about who Jesus is. And it's important to note that what I'm speaking about here this morning is just the tip of the iceberg. There's so much that we can go and learn about Jesus in the Scriptures. There's so much that we can go and learn about Jesus in personal relationship with Him. The responsibility is ours to go and discover Him. Maybe you're here this morning and you're struggling to believe. That book. Maybe you're here this morning and you're just struggling to believe in Jesus. And it's hard for you to believe that the Bible is actually a history book, not just a story book. You're wondering, did Jesus really walk this earth? And that's fine. And I want to encourage you to go and buy this little book. It's called More Than a Carpenter, written by Josh McDowell. And it's a small book, easy reading book. It costs 30 Rand. You can buy it at the info desk or at Kum Books, wherever. Sold more than 15 million copies. This book is about an atheist who went out or made a point of it to go out and show the world that that Jesus didn't walk on the earth. But through his research, discovered the overwhelming evidence that there is for Jesus actually roaming this earth. So if that's you, I want to encourage you to go and buy this book. $30. Will change your life. Maybe you hear this morning, you say, I've heard enough about Jesus. I've read enough about Jesus. But how do I follow someone if I have not met them before? I'm saying, great question. Thanks for asking that question. Because we cannot truly follow Christ if we have not yet met him. We can read about him. We can learn a lot about him in teachings. Or we can learn a lot about him in books. But the best way to learn about Jesus is to personally meet him, to surrender your life to him, and to allow him to come and invade every area of your life. Now I'm going to read, I want to read to you just a portion of my life story. I'm going to read to you, otherwise I'm just going to be babbling. So just hear me out here. For the majority of my life, okay, I'm not that old, so the majority is not such a long period of time. But still, for the majority of my life, I was a very religious guy. What I mean when I say religious guy is that I attended church every Sunday. I prayed, I read my Bible most days. I did not swear. I believed in God, but I had not yet met with Jesus. At the age of 18, I for the first time surrendered and allowed Jesus to enter and become Lord and King of me. Up until that point in my life, I was actually just following a set of rules and instructions. And because the Bible teaches us great rules to follow, my life was blessed. But the chasm in my heart, the void in my soul, the longing for something, someone greater, was never filled. Sure, when the rules did not fill the gap, I tried alcohol, I tried parties, I tried the cool kid thing. I tried to fill the void through achievement, but the satisfaction was short-lived and the chasm remained. But after meeting that night with Jesus in a church service, much like this, something changed. To be honest, I think everything changed. I could not place my finger on what exactly had happened, but the peace, excitement, and content that filled my being was something I had not experienced before. I had met with Jesus. And ushers, if you can start just handing out the communion. In a little while we'll be handing out communion, but the point of this morning's message, the purpose of this message is not to let us feel bad or to show us how little Christian we are. The point for this morning's message is to force us to ask ourselves the question, who do we follow? And then to be honest enough with ourselves, or to be honest when answering that question. And if we see we're not following Christ, to do the necessary, take the necessary actions, take the necessary steps to get back to following Jesus. Because you don't want to sit here 10 years from now realizing that we're still the same. We're unchanged. We followed many things, but we didn't follow Jesus. Let's not call ourselves Christians. Let's be Christians. Amen? So as the ushers just hand out the communion this morning, and they're just going to play a song for us. And I just want us in the next 3 or 4 minutes, as the song is playing, let's just respond to what God has been speaking to you about this morning. Let's respond to that question of who do we follow. Let's just take the time out and personally, just between you and God, let's just speak to God and open your heart up to what he wants to say to you.